the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Number 5.
Oh, caller number 19, 312-981-7200, by the way. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Thank you. President Trump announced complete U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord today. It was in the White House garden. All the plants died immediately when he announced this.
It's just called the garden now, not the rose garden.
Roses can't survive in the global temperature shift.
No. Very fragile roses.
Yeah. He says that he's pulling out, but he's willing to renegotiate so the U.S. can re-enter. He's going to pull out and then re-enter, which, as your priest will tell you, is still a sin. Possibly, maybe come up with a new agreement, saying the agreement, not good for America.
This agreement is less about the climate and more about other countries gaining a financial advantage over the United States. The rest of the world applauded when we signed the Paris Agreement. They went wild. They were so happy. For the simple reason that it put our country, the United States of America, which we all love, at a very, very big economic disadvantage.
It's celebrating, just like the people were in Jersey City on September 11th. That kind of, they were all jumping up and down and celebrating.
I'm not sure they were all laughing.
But wait, now this, yes, yeah, this tells you a little bit about how the temperament, I don't think necessarily fits the policy, but.
At what point does America get demeaned? At what point do they start laughing at us as a country? We want fair treatment for its citizens, and we want fair treatment for our taxpayers. We don't want other leaders and other countries laughing at us anymore, and they won't be. They won't be. I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
And that's really the headline. What he was talking about, his whole America First message, and it's about the economy, not the climate. And he sort of equates the supporting the economy with meaning you can't necessarily be a great climate citizen, which isn't true. But then part of his speech was dedicated to, well, no, but I do care about the climate. We're going to have the cleanest air and the cleanest water. That part of it, we still don't have a lot of details about how you get that part done when you're cutting EPA funding.
Yeah. I mean, the only piece of the EPA funding cutting that I think that at least I'm literate on is the fact that the Great Lakes Cleanup Initiative funding has been cut by 96% or something like that. They're keeping the office open, but that's, they're keeping a person on staff. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy. That's a bad move right there. That's what he says. So says he. But this whole thing about that, they're laughing at us. The problem is that dude, people have been laughing at his whole life, right? I mean, for not the right reasons. And now, I mean, if you were talking about laughing at, I mean, this is America being a laughingstock. I think certainly more now than it had been, because you got people all over the world going, wait, what did he just do? What? You know who's doing the laughing, Mr. President, the loudest? Think Kremlin. All right, checking in at
number 4.
J.B. Pritzker responded to reporters' questions last night regarding the 2008 phone call that we played for you yesterday that Rob Blagojevich had with the man who would be governor now, J.B. Pritzker.
Mm-hmm. The Tribune broke that story yesterday.
Now, with regard to Valerie Jarrett, I thought that she would be a quality candidate for Senate, and that's why I raised it.
No. Next question. The question was, you said you shouldn't do that unless he gave you something in return. So that's the part. That's the key question.
So we're only doing two more questions. I'd like to make sure TV gets a chance. Do you have a question, sir?
Well, I have the same question. Quid pro quo. I mean, what does that mean to you?
No. My belief is that Valerie Jarrett would have made a good United States senator. And in the context only of a governor who at the time was not under any legal challenge, the idea that he might serve in an administration seemed okay. So, you know, I believe that, that Valerie Jarrett is a quality person and would have been a good quality U.S. senator.
Right. A little hard to get it from under that. That's a little, that's some.
A little dodge there.
Yeah. Well, it's a pirouette. It's a tough pirouette because we all knew what he was doing there. He's playing the game, the same game that all these people play, the quid pro quo or log rolling, as they called it in the Blagojevich sentencing. And what is interesting, though, is you'll recall that idea of log rolling, like you do something for me, I'll do something for you. In, you know, to the point here. When Rob Blagojevich was resentenced, or when his sentencing was thrown out, and then he was sent to be resentenced, and the guy gave him the same amount of time.
And they threw out some of the charges, some of the more serious and talked about ones regarding selling the Senate seat.
Well, the point was that the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals found that in the opinion that stood. That kind of behavior, and they refer to it as log rolling or quid pro quo or whatever it is, where
horse trading
for political jobs is not illegal.
Right. And that's what Blagojevich's lawyers were trying to argue in the appeal. That this was political horse trading. That's all he was doing, just like any other politician has done in the history of Illinois.
I mean, it's a little bit in the weeds, but it seems like J.B. Pritzker was kind of stammering around that answer. And the answer could have just been, listen, this is the way. Sometimes it's not pretty, but it's not illegal. And that's the kind of stuff that goes on all the time. I don't personally want to do it, but that's the way Rob Blagojevich is running it. And the courts actually found that behavior was not illegal. And that's just kind of what it boils down
to. I think it's
eye-opening,
though, when you hear it. When you hear it as a citizen, and it's eye-opening to understand that this is the way it works. Because he specifically said he wants a Senate job, and he said no. And he said, well, wait a minute, if Lexi Janulia should go to Washington to be with Barack Obama in some post, should that happen, I think you appoint his replacement, don't you? Yeah, that's the one I would want.
Yeah.
It's basically saying, hey, put me in there.
Coach. Wait, there's more.
Listen, if you listen to the tapes that were released, you will see that it should come as no surprise to you that first, nothing was said in those conversations that's untoward in any way. Second, that over decades of my life, I have been doing public service, and the opportunity to continue to do public service as treasurer of the state was something that had been brought up, and so there was a conversation about that. My conversation was about the opportunity to do public service. That was all that I was having a conversation about, and that opportunity never came.
So what kind of territory did you think you were in when he directly asked you, can you do for me what you did for Lisa, which was give $50,000?
As you heard on the tape, at every chance that those things were brought up, I rejected them.
And he did.
I think it is, and let's face it, Rob Blagojevich was in charge of handing out that job, so he wanted the job, he called the guy for it. I mean, that is true.
It's just, and he happens to be a billionaire who gives a lot of money to politicians. So this is the way it works, right?
Well, it's very, just going to say this. It ain't pretty watching it be made.
No, it's not. Like a sausage factory.
No, it's not. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Violetta Powder-Medic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots right now.
Celebrate your love for literature with Rick Bayless, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and David Levithan. Visit Printers Row, LitFest.org. Get your tickets.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We're in the top five. We're up to
number three.
LeBron James talked to reporters about the NBA Finals as they're about to begin tonight. And he says he's not so interested in trying to prove people wrong.
Not in the prove people wrong, silence critics, people department no more. I got a promotion when I got to the 30s. So at the end of the day, I mean, I know what I've done. I know what I'm built. I know the way I'm built. My only motivation is to be able to compete for a championship every single year.
That's true.
It's this seventh straight finals. Some pretty impressive stuff from
LeBron.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, I don't think, you know.
Rose not impressed?
No, I'm impressed. I don't think there's much one can say about LeBron James in terms of work ethic and ability and skill and just monstrousness out on the court.
Being
a good citizen, guys giving back, you know, and went back home after he wore the picnic tablecloth shirt and said, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach or whatever. Was that it?
Yep. First player ever to bring two franchises or help bring two franchises to four finals. Four with the Cavs, four with
the Heat.
Miami.
Wow. Yeah.
Should be a great series. I mean, the postseason for the most part was pretty boring because everyone expected this. Everyone was just waiting for this. The Cavaliers and the Warriors. Golden State hasn't even lost in the postseason yet. Cleveland's lost one game. So it's been pretty lopsided. But when these two actually play, it's great basketball and it's entertaining.
The money was heavy on Golden State, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, Golden State won less games this year, but now they have Kevin Durant into the equation. So it's kind of ridiculous that the amount of superstars there. I think it's 11 current or past NBA All-Stars are playing in this finals.
Man,
11 All-Stars.
It's going to be exciting to watch.
It's fun. It is fun. And I'm happy for Cleveland. Because, you know.
Especially what happened in October.
Yes, especially what happened in October. We spent some time in Cleveland. You guys spent some time in Cleveland.
Did, yeah.
Anna and I spent some time in Cleveland for the convention. And it's a great town.
It's
a great town. So I'm hopeful for them.
I hope we get to see Steph Curry's daughter in the press conferences. I just look forward to those moments. Just on the side.
Checking in at
number two.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade.
All right, the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, officially released 50 years ago today in the UK. Came out 50 years ago tomorrow in the U.S. of A. David Crosby, whose friendship with Fab Four dates back to when he was a member of the Byrds, says he attended a number of Sgt. Pepper recording sessions at Abbey Road. Crosby recalls that the Beatles treated him to an early preview of one of the album's most celebrated songs.
One of the nights that I was there when they were doing Sgt. Pepper, I was there a number of nights, but one of the nights that I was there was the night that they had just finished Day in the Life, and they played it for me. I think I was the first person they played it for. And it was such an experience. You know, I mean, it was such a completely outrageously beautiful piece of work. And it did a lot of things that nobody had ever done before. And it was just so startlingly good.
You know, that is really true. Everything he just said is true. That when you listen to that album overall, but then it ends with A Day in the Life, I cannot imagine being like a music fan back in that era and mm-hmm. getting that album and stopping and thinking, these guys who were already, you know, the biggest band in the world, the most important rock and roll band of all times.
Right.
Already there, already at the top. And then they do something that was so experimental and it worked. It wasn't experimental and goofy.
No.
It was experimental and worked.
Worked around the world. Such an influential album. And he knew it. He was... couldn't speak for a while when he heard it, he said. It's amazing.
All right. And finally,
number one.
Arachnophagus. A-R-A-C-H-N-O-P-H-A-G-O-U-S. Arachnophagus.
Correct.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. How do you know that one? I mean, come on.
The nation's best spellers, whose names are not spellable, generally, are at the 2017 Scripps National Spelling Bee today, the final day of competition at the annual event where spellers are competing for more than $40,000 in cash and prizes.
Cinerarium. C-I-N-E-R-A-R-I-U-M. Cinerarium.
Correct.
Kafefi never came up, just to confirm.
Diastole.
Watch the last letter.
D-I-A-S-T-O-L-E. Diastole.
Correct.
Well done.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
I mean, And how old are they? They're usually like 11, 12, 13, something like that.
This is the best geek trick in all of America, right? Of all the things that you can watch, this is the best thing ever.
Oh,
these kids are amazing.
They are. One of the girls had to spell kerfuffle, which is commonly spelled with a K. She knew that it was actually supposed to be spelled with a C.
Did anybody faint? There's normally one kid who faints up at the
microphone. When they do the cutaways to the parents, they all look like they're going to pass out. They're all like,
fan them down. Give them some air.
Or they're on their cell phone checking on their restaurant. The parents are.
I don't know. I find they look
broken
stressed.
In.
They look stressed.
It's an event.
Cafefe. C-A-F. E-V-E. Cafefe.
Nope.
Epoptic. E. P. O. P. T. I. C. Epoptic.
That is correct.
Edge of your seat stuff.
That was kind of
it
an
is
easy
amazing
one.
Television. And to these kids, and then you just stop and you think, when you were that age, could you have ever done anything like stand up there and do this?
Could you do that at this age?
No,
exactly.
I couldn't spell my name at that age.
Well, it is confusing. C H Pylak. P Y L A K. Pylak. Sorry, Mr. President. All right, let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.